Wild Virginians, and thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Wild Virginia Coffee Talk podcast. I'm your host, Katie Keller, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Courtney Hayes on the line. She is one of the faces behind ensuring wildlife corridors are intact in Virginia. So Courtney is our Habitat Connectivity Program Director and has worked as a zoologist and data scientist for the Office of Kentucky Nature Preserves and the Natural Resources Conservation Service. She is so passionate about protecting wild animals and plants and just all the ecosystems that really serve Wild Virginia's mission through scientific research. She has really spearheaded the Virginia Safe Wildlife Corridors Collaborative. So we're going to talk about some exciting projects that they're working on. But first, thank you so much for joining me, Courtney. And I thought before we dive into some of the amazing work that you're doing that we could talk a little bit more about your background and what you bring to Wild Virginia's Wildlife Corridor Program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm very excited about this. So I got my undergraduate and graduate degree at Eastern Kentucky University, where I studied biology. And I mostly researched mammals, and more specifically, I studied mesopredators and mesocarnivores. So those are kind of the middle guys in the food chain who eat things but still get eaten by other things. And I really focused on studying the eastern spotted skunk, which is a really rare skunk we have in the eastern United States. And I did a lot of camera trapping work, and that's kind of how I got into my job as a zoologist. Is I did a lot of monitoring of mammal species, including bats and carnivores. I did some camera trapping work too, worked on all kinds of different things. But then what got me to Wild Virginia is I've always been very interested in how animals move around in their distribution. So that's kind of what I was looking at with the spotted skunks, is just where were they in Kentucky and how widespread are they? And so the thing with mesopredators is they're really affected by this thing called the edge effect, which is this phenomenon in biology where you see a lot more diversity at the edges of habitat. In part, this is because a little bit of what we can see, but it's mostly because it's like an ecotone where different habitats are blending. So what I'm getting at here is that with wildlife corridors and moving and monitoring animals that are moving between these corridors, this is kind of what, when I saw this job posting, I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And I had really heard about how much Virginia had really been successful in getting a wildlife corridor action plan bill passed. And that was just unheard of in Kentucky. So I was really impressed with the program that Wild Virginia had and the fact that there's just not a habitat connectivity program director in many states at all. Like, habitat connectivity is always a thought that, like, yes, this is super important. We need to promote it. We need to work on it. But we don't have time. We don't have money. We have jobs already set, and this is important, and we're learning that. But who has time to do all this? So I'm really excited to get to be one of the few people, one of the first few people that really focuses on this. So I'm very excited about that and working with Wild Virginia and their unique position and being able to focus on this full time.
That's amazing. And with, I mean, studying the meso carnivores, I know that when folks are thinking about like wildlife corridors and crossing projects, it's always those big guys that get so much attention. But I know that, you know, with the middle guys, they're so important too. So with coming from Kentucky, are the animals, are they different, or what sort of new things are you experiencing in coming to Virginia?
I haven't really been asked that a lot. The animals are largely the same. I mean, I just moved from the other side of the Appalachian Mountains to this side of it. So the animals are largely the same. There's a few different kinds of like snakes and different lizards and a few different birds that we didn't have over there. But in general, at least when it comes to the mammals, most of them are the same. And Virginia is unique because I also have to take into account the coastal areas. So there's a lot of animals over there that I've not had a lot of experience in working with on an inland state like Kentucky. So that particularly being able to think that I can have an influence on protecting those guys too, that is really special to me and unique in that sense. But like in terms of the mesopredators and deer and those kinds of things, those are all largely the same. And then another similarity is Kentucky has elk. Virginia also has elk. I had never worked at all with any kind of work with the elk in Kentucky, but Virginia's elk population, I'll talk about it a little more later, but we've got a project going on with VDOT and DWR trying to help them with their elk project. So that's another animal that I haven't really gotten to work with that I'm very excited to get to really work to protect in Virginia.
That's amazing. And so you bring a lot of really great experience in coming from Kentucky, you know, just hopping over the mountains. But so you tease to a wildlife corridor action plan to be released. So what is sort of your ideal vision for wildlife corridors in Virginia? And how do you foresee that coming through in this action plan?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually today is a very special day to kind of talk about the Wildlife Corridor Action Plan, because an actual draft was just turned into the agency directors for that Wildlife Corridor Action Plan. So we're getting closer to actually having a real plan given to us. And I think by late September, they'll have like a final plan due to the administration. And maybe soon after that, we'll finally get to see it. What I really hope comes out of this is that we have some projects and areas where we can do projects that we can leverage all of this great federal money that is becoming available through the bipartisan infrastructure law that was just passed in, I think, last November. And I'm really hoping that we can identify these wildlife corridors, show how it's impacting diversity and just the health of the animals, and then also keep people safer too. So that's really my vision for working on wildlife corridors, is identifying them, using our knowledge of how we can adjust our development ideas and just make the roads safer for wildlife passage and for human passage, because nobody wants to hit a deer. Nobody wants to hit a bear. Really, nobody wants to hit an elk for sure. So if we can use this plan to identify hotspots where these accidents are happening and where animals are being killed a lot and just lessen that impact, that is really important to me and what I would really hope comes out of this.
Excellent. And, you know, I love this part of Wild Virginia, because like you said, it really does have bipartisan support, which is really important. So you talked a little bit about how habitat connectivity directors, they're just kind of unheard of in states, which is kind of, it flabbergasts me, because it's 2022 and you'd think that, like you said, nobody wants to hit these large animals. So, but we do have states that are doing particularly well. So how can we model from those other states? I know that California, they just recently had a bill that addresses wildlife vehicle collisions. And I know that they have some exciting projects going on. So how can we model from states like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I get a lot of inspiration from looking at what other states are able to accomplish. And also when legislators from our own state see that other states are successful in supporting these things, it really makes them like, ooh, we should do that too. Other states are doing it. So I know of 11 states that have actually enacted habitat connectivity legislation. And that's like Oregon, California, Utah, New Mexico, Colorado, Florida, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and then Virginia. So that's not really that many. 11 out of 50 that actually have legislation enacted to protect wildlife corridors. And then there's 5 more where it's been introduced, including Washington, Wyoming, Indiana, Mississippi, and Pennsylvania. And so I know that when our previous executive director was thinking about how to make a habitat connectivity position, she really looked to Washington State's program. And although they don't have their legislation enacted, they do. Their wildlife program has a habitat connectivity biologist. And I know she was reaching out and talking to them about how to even make a position around this, just because it's so unheard of. So even just like something as simple as seeing those examples is ways we can be inspired to follow other states. I know Florida has a great corridor. Their corridor is making really big moves in protecting it. And I think a lot of that is due to how involved the landowners are there. So that's something that I think Virginia really needs to work on more, is working with landowners and why the wildlife corridors that their land is a part of are important to protect. And it's not that the government's trying to take their land to protect it. It's just trying to identify areas that wildlife can move through. Like, we don't need you to stop using your ag field. We just need you to like realize deer are running through it, and there might just need to be some protections around it. Like, another example is California, like you were just talking about. They just enacted this year their habitat connectivity legislation. And this is a really cool opportunity for them, because they are currently just this year starting construction on what will be the world's largest wildlife crossing. So that in itself is a huge feat. I think previously it wasn't even in the United States, the previous largest one. I think it was in Sweden or somewhere else in Europe. So just what is becoming possible with all of this habitat connectivity work since this bipartisan infrastructure law was enacted is really inspiring. And we don't necessarily need the world's largest wildlife crossing in Virginia, because we don't have those huge migrating species. But we can, if we can just get more support for adding fencing to our existing crossings, to really amping up our culverts to help our fish, those kinds of things can go a really long way in protecting biodiversity.
That's all so wonderful to hear. And even though we may not have the same species, you know, on the West Coast and some of those states that you mentioned, that cross collaboration, it can help to understand how to influence policymakers, how to learn from those lessons learned that are obviously important in large projects. So that's all really exciting. And speaking of cross collaboration, within the Virginia Safe Wildlife Corridors Collaborative, we have some amazing partners. You mentioned VDOT, that are just working together to really, really influence these projects moving forward. And so let's talk about some recent news from the last collaborative newsletter, and then a project that you teased too, which I'm so excited to hear about. It gets me so giddy. So tell us, Courtney, tell us about some of the cool things going on.
So we had our last Virginia Safe Wildlife Corridors Collaborative meeting back in June. And that meeting was really focused on just really getting everybody back together and getting updates on all the projects going on in the collaborative, which is an amazing amount of things. So we heard things from VDOT's new policy and guidelines for wildlife crash countermeasures, which is really, really impactful. And I want to thank Bridget Donaldson at VDOT for that, for really championing wildlife corridors and really fighting to get that protection, because now it's actually required. If a road has a speed limit over a certain speed limit and there are documented crashes over a certain amount, you have to consider wildlife crossings in the actual construction of that, like on that road. So that is really big, big on the ground, really big accomplishment for wildlife corridors and habitat connectivity. We also heard about projects going on in Albemarle County, from tracking the bobcats that are there in the mountains to really just amping up the bridges and culverts that already exist there. We're trying to identify how much it would cost to make them better, because deer are already using those crossings, but they're still getting hit because some of them are too filled with debris, so they're too scared to go under there. They need better lighting. Some fencing to direct them to there would go a long way. So there's projects trying to figure out that stuff. We also highlighted Wild Virginia's new collaboration with the Wildlands Network, and we're coining that Virginia Pathways, which is an exciting new project within the collaborative. We work really closely with Wildlands Network, and they've been a part of the collaborative for a while. So getting a formal partnership there is very exciting, and I'm very excited about the future of that. And then the Elk Project in Southwest Virginia. So this is a project with VDOT and DWR, and we are kind of just playing a supporting role in trying to educate the public about it. So it's still in the beginning stages where they're just researching where the elk are moving around, where these wildlife crossings need to go on this new road project called Corridor Q. So that's very exciting. We're really just trying to educate people about what it means, what the project is, why it's important not to hit the elk, those kinds of things. That's very exciting. Also, in the collaborative, we've started this newsletter, which you can subscribe to on our website, where you can get funding and job opportunities on there. We released a new introductory video to the collaborative. Big thanks to Wild Things Media for that, because that is a really cool and inspiring video that is up on our homepage now too. So that's very, very exciting things in the collaborative. And we're planning our next meeting right now, looking for late October, maybe early November meeting time. So I'm excited for the future of the collaborative for sure.
Well, and we'll be sure to keep this developing story in the news, because it is really exciting stuff going on. So readers and listeners can just continue to subscribe to Viswik, and we'll be sure to link to that website in the show notes, and of course Wild Virginia. So really, really exciting stuff. So let's talk about what maybe listeners or readers should be looking out for themselves, you know, just what species they should start to be aware of since we're coming into the fall time.
Yeah. I think the biggest one, of course, is going to be the deer as they start their mating season. The males will start running around and they're not really thinking straight. They're just thinking, how can I find a mate? And they're just sprinting everywhere and running into the roads. So that's for sure going to be the biggest thing you need to look out for. If you're in Southwest Virginia, the elk, they're also going to start their mating season. Thankfully, there's not too many roads open where they're hanging out yet. But as those begin to open, you definitely want to look out for the elk, because they're considerably larger than the deer and will definitely hurt your car a lot more. But the deer are definitely the biggest things. I would say maybe some coyotes and foxes will be running around, but I think the coyotes might be chasing the deer sometimes. So that might be something to look out for, but mainly the deer. That's the one that's spread everywhere. Everyone should just really be more hyper aware and kind of look to your sides. If you see little eyes flashing back at you, just slow down a little and be aware of what they're doing.
Yeah, it sounds like me when I'm hungry, sprinting through the house to the kitchen. So everyone needs to be cognizant about some of this wildlife that's going to go through their mating seasons and just slow down. You know, I think with the time change, especially, I don't even know. I think that may be changing at some point in Virginia. I'm not sure, but either way, definitely just be cognizant about all of these species that are going to be going through those seasons. So Courtney, I really appreciate you joining me today. I love this program, and it's so exciting to hear about all of these projects going on. So I wanted to give us space for any closing thoughts. And then I know that we have some really great upcoming events.
Thank you so much for having me on today. This has been great. And thank you for giving me a space to talk about my work, because I'm very passionate about it. And I love sharing it with people. Everybody loves animals. So it's nice to talk about it. But in terms of events that we actually are putting on, I'm very excited because on September 20th at 7 p.m., we are hosting a webinar about wildlife crossings. And this is actually going to be given by California's Regional Executive Director for the National Wildlife Federation. And she is going to be talking to us about the world's largest wildlife crossing being built right outside of Los Angeles. And she will actually be at the crossing site that day. So she is going to live stream some of her webinar so everybody can see the wildlife crossing in construction. She's going to talk about the inspiration behind it and why wildlife crossings are just really important and why you should support them. I'm so excited about this. Beth is so inspiring to talk to. When we talk, we're both just like, we both care about it so much. So we're just like jabbering back and forth at each other about our ideas. It's very fun. Senator Marsden will be introducing that, and he's really been a champion for Wildlife Corridor. So I'm excited about that. We'll also hear a little bit more about the Elk Project from Bridget Donaldson, possibly. So I'm excited for people to hear a little bit more about that too. And then we have another in-person event, which we haven't had that many of since the pandemic. And that will be a monarch tagging event, and it will be, I haven't picked an exact field yet, but it will be in the Charlottesville area. I will be coming up and I will have monarch tags. I will have nets. I will have a little cage so that I can explain to people how we catch monarchs, where they go, why they migrate, why we tag them. I'm very, very excited about that. It makes you feel like a kid again, running around with a butterfly net chasing butterflies. So I'm excited to get to share that with people.
How wonderful. So everyone listening, Beth and Bridget, you definitely don't want to, well, and Senator Marsden, you really don't want to miss hearing them speak. So we'll be sure, you need to RSVP too, so we can keep you in the know about other future events and other important things. So really exciting stuff going on. Courtney, thanks again for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I love it. Like you said, just these little critters, they're so important for the overall ecosystems and the healthiness of Virginia and keeping our wild spaces intact. So for more information on what you can do to save those little critters, you can visit www.wildvirginia.org. Stay wild, Wild Virginians.